Welcome inside the Pop Culture Show. It's presented by Purity Vodka. Ringing the new year with Purity Vodka and Purity Spritz. Warning, this episode is being heavily influenced by Purity 51. This is a rare nighttime taping of the show, so we're all drinking. And Leslie's wearing color, which is even more shocking.
I told you what I'm going to do with the bottle. I'm going to use it as a vase afterwards. It's a beautiful bottle.
Well, it smoothly goes down the beautiful throat. Man, this stuff is really good.
Man, I'm telling you what. Can we record the show every Saturday night?
You know, it's actually not a bad idea.
Until we all get vaccinated and have a life again, but yeah.
Right. I don't mind Sunday morning, but Saturday night's great, especially for me and the wife, because the baby's asleep. I got the booze coming here. We're good.
No, I think it influenced the show greatly. The Pop Culture Show, for those that don't know, is a deep dive into the latest celebrity news, music, TV, technology, and we throw in some of our observations from this incredibly crazy life, and we are your hosts. I'm Barnes. That is Leslie.
Hello.
That is Cubby.
Leslie, who are you wearing tonight?
You know, it's funny. It's like I have this shirt in the closet. It does look... Is it too busy?
Leslie always wears black.
Usually no. I'm black on black, so I wanted to shock you guys tonight.
I like it. So. I like it a lot.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. Let's go.
So how in the hell was everybody's week? I mean, the news was kind of light, so wasn't much going on in the news.
Yeah, it was a slow week.
I didn't read the terms and conditions of 2021. They're already falling apart.
I saw that meme everywhere. I like to unsubscribe to my 7-day trial.
It's yeah, funny. Yeah, yeah. But don't ask us about our week. You had a very important week. We want to hear what happened with the surgery with your daughter.
Well, you know, I knew in the end everything would go well, but you get nervous. And we have an 11-month-old daughter, and she had cleft palate surgery. She has a soft cleft palate. And for those that don't know, that means there's a hole in the roof of her mouth. She was born that way. And they were able to, you know, surgically fix it. And it was a big day on Tuesday where she went under. And we had an ear doctor involved. So there were tubes put in the ears, as well as her palate was totally reconstructed.
That's huge that you did a 2-for-1, because just the tubes, when they put them under, it's scary.
Yeah. Well, the doctor recommended. He said, you know, you don't want to put her under like a month later. Try to do it all at once.
How long was the surgery?
It was like 3 hours.
I mean, during those 3 hours, what were you and your wife going through?
Well, because of COVID, only one parent is allowed in the hospital, and we couldn't even wait together. It sucked. So she waited in the hospital. I went home, and I literally just sat in my lounger, and I had a TV show on, but I don't remember what I was watching, and all I was doing was like having restless leg syndrome. I was just nervous the whole time.
Of course you were.
Yeah, it's just, it was, you know... As expected, I guess, you know, anesthesia number one will scare you for a baby to go under anesthesia. But it went very well. And they were thinking maybe they'd have to use tissue inside of her cheek to use for the roof of the mouth. But she had enough tissue around the sides that they were able to cover the hole. And now we're about coming up on a week now since the surgery. And things are going well. The hardest part is she wears these arm restraints and to keep her from bending her elbows so she doesn't put things in her mouth. Because she'll put her finger in her mouth. She'll put like, you know, she'll find a toy and put it in her mouth. You know, yeah, she's a baby. So so far that's going well. But, you know, we got to be real careful because the doctor said that the roof of the mouth right now for her is like tissue paper. It's that fragile.
Wow.
So we don't want to go through this again. God forbid she pokes a hole in it, in like a tent, and it like, you know, breaks apart. So
So how long will she have to have those arm restraints?
They're saying 1 to 2 weeks, but they said if you take them off, you have to watch her like a hawk. But after 2 weeks, they say the stitches get pretty solid at that point, and the chances of damage are low. But we actually go for a post-op later this week. And we'll get the 411. But yeah, she's doing well. She's sleeping a lot.
Has she been in any pain?
Well, we give her Tylenol once a day, the doctor said. We can't, you know, it's funny, you can't tell if they're in pain or if they're tired because they get fussy all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So she's not feeding as well. That's another big problem because she's used to sucking a bottle in a different way. She's used to doing it with a mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was there. So everything's new to her. She's never had a roof of her mouth. So she's getting used to all this new stuff. So we're kind of holding her hand through it. And we're just so happy that she seems to be really strong, and she's done it.
Well, it was wonderful to see all the, you know, the people on Facebook and Instagram talking to you and sending out well wishes and prayers. It really was. You have so many friends that were behind you 100%.
Thank you both and to everybody. I got to tell you, you know, it does make you feel amazing, doesn't it?
It like, does.
Sometimes Facebook, Instagram is like therapy, because mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know, I want to keep this kind of to ourselves. And then I said, screw it, I'll post a picture. And I made it a story. And I ended up reading those comments during the surgery. It kept me busy.
It's got to be healing. It's got to be helpful.
It's almost healing.
Because you feel like someone's there.
Correct. I mean, you have people just overall wishing you good vibes and prayers and all that. But then you have people hitting you up on the side saying, my daughter or son went through the same thing and they're now 9 and they're talking fine and they're eating fine. Like, so, you know, you hear things like that. It's, you know, it's fairly common, but when it's your kid, you think you're the first person going through it. And that's just what made us feel really, really good. And thank you again. Both of you guys were supportive just on text. I mean, you made me feel really good and I appreciate it. It meant more than you know.
Well, we're glad everything went well. Seriously.
Yeah, just know you're going to get double Pop Culture Show texts next week because I didn't hit you with anything this week.
You really do have a quota, don't you, Steve? You're like, okay, I'm only allowed to call him twice.
I'm kidding, because you'll rapid fire me with questions. You know, someone said something on Twitter that I wanted to bring up. I don't really have anything massive that happened this week. I mean, this was a cubby week by far with the drama you had going on. We have a new blog. I wanted to mention that we have a great writer, Christine Fitzgerald, who writes for very successful magazines out there, decided she wanted to write for us. And she's writing a focus piece, a blog piece each week. And last week it was on the Cat app, which got a ton of traction.
Wow.
The developers posted it on all of their social media. People were talking about it. I mean, people love animals. So be sure and check that out. It's at thepopcultureshow.com. And then someone tweeted and said, you know, you guys said you have known each other each like 30 years, like across, you know, each mm-hmm. of you have known each other so long. And they said, how come you don't ever tell any stories? And I was like, you know what? You have a good point. We just kind of assume that maybe you know those stories. And I've got one about Cubby. So I thought, you know, because we've never done a radio show together, which
true.
Is where those stories would have come
true.
Out. So we should start unearthing some of these. I have a funny one. It's quick about Cubby. I have a couple about Cubby, but one time, the first time I met Coco, his wife, Cubby came to visit Atlanta and brought Coco. Was that the time you were going to adopt the cat?
Well, yeah, but we came to Atlanta twice. One was because of a flight diversion, and you actually took us in.
Well, that was just you. That was just you.
Oh, that's right. That was just me. Okay,
yeah.
So when you met Coco, we came down to adopt Annie.
Okay,
right.
Came down for a cat. So they show up with this old school suitcase, and they come
right.
walking in with this suitcase, and we're like, okay, great, here's your, and we put him in the guest dungeon, and everything's getting all, you know, tidied away, and they're like, hey, and they were kind of laughing, like, what's wrong? They're like, well, this suitcase has a combination lock on it, and all of our shit's in there, and Cubby spun the wheel, and they can't get in their suitcase.
So my wife's a big fan of Halliburton. You know the Halliburton suitcase? Not suitcases, but the cases. It's the ones you see on like Deal or No Deal, where they open it up. They're silver.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
There was stuff in it, but she never used it for the code aspect of it. And
okay.
I thought she did. And we were sitting in the airport, and I just started fiddling with it. And she goes, what did you do?
And so they show up and can't get in.
Yeah, so we showed up in Atlanta, and we're like, we couldn't get into her suitcase. That's right, that's right.
So we spent the entire day on Saturday driving around to find a locksmith.
For the suitcase.
To get into the suitcase so they could get their clothes. No, they couldn't get their overnight stuff. They couldn't get anything. Toothbrushes, nothing.
You're so good with the details. I completely forgot. We drove around looking for locksmiths.
All over town, and it was a Saturday.
Right.
We couldn't find one open. How did you eventually get into it?
We went through every number.
Oh, that's right. They started doing the numbers.
We went upstairs. We said goodnight to you guys, and we went to the room we were in, or wherever you put us. I forgot. Was it the dungeon?
I think
Yeah. We were like, we got to get this open. It was bothering the hell out of us. So we literally sat in the bed, and we started with 001.
Unbelievable.
002.
No way.
00.
It was just funny. So
you're
funny.
Really hard selling me on buying one of these things.
So cubby. Anyway, so there's just a tiny story. And he came down just to adopt a cat, and he adopted the cat, and he still has it today.
Barnes, I posted a photo of you and I and Jimmy Barron from Breakfast with David Bowie 1997.
That was a surreal moment.
It was surreal. We're sitting next to David Bowie, interviewing him, and then he performed. I still can't believe it happened.
For those that aren't in Atlanta, we had it in a room that only holds 100 people.
I was laughing at that picture because, you know, Leslie looks fantastic as usual. And Jimmy looked, at least he was wearing a station logo and halfway dressed up. And Barnes looked like he finished mowing a lawn. You're wearing shorts and a shirt that's not even fully buttoned. I mean, maybe it's summertime, I get it. But come on, dude, it's David Bowie.
But, you know, I was never a huge Bowie fan. And so when I went to work like I would go to work any day with shorts on and a shirt.
And now, but looking back, you have to be going
back,
wow.
And thinking about, we were sitting on these bar stools with David Bowie in a 2-foot range, and he was playing songs while we sat there. And so to look over and go, holy shit, that's David Bowie. Like, and the words coming out of his mouth are Blue Jean. I mean, you're just
super
like,
cool.
Holy.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And looking at that picture, I just go, wow, this guy died at what, 64?
It was 5 years ago this week, actually, that he passed away.
So
I believe he was 64. Yep.
Fram, do you remember? He was the nicest guy.
He was really nice. And Cubby, we used to do these compilation CDs every year from our acoustic sessions.
I have them.
And he did the cover. He did the cover artwork for one of them.
Wow.
And was just always really nice and gracious. And
those CDs I still have, actually. They were great CDs.
Great CDs.
That was a cool pick to post, Fram.
Follow the Pop Culture Show on Twitter for the latest breaking celebrity, music, and TV news. Keep on top of your pop culture news with us on Twitter. Follow at Pop Culture Show on Twitter.
Wow, jumping into celebrity sleaze. I don't know where to start, but I think I want to start with this crazy story about Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles. They were seen recently at his manager's wedding, and they were holding hands. So, of course, it's official now, they are dating, because apparently they were seen over the weekend in Santa Barbara. But I thought that Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde had been married all this time, but they hadn't. They were just together for 7 years. They had two kids. But apparently the relationship they announced, they split in November. Somebody said they split at the beginning of the year, but a report came out today that Jason Sudeikis is heartbroken.
Okay.
Now, that could just be tabloid fodder. Who knows? But it's pretty crazy because she's, you know, she's 10 years older than Harry Styles. He's in a movie she's directing. That's how they met.
But what happened? What was the thing that Sudeikis and Olivia, what broke them up? Was it Styles?
It never said what broke them up. You know, it was the quote unquote irreconcilable differences.
Call people, Leslie. You know people. Get the dirt.
She does know people. Come on, Fram.
You do know people. Yeah.
It's like, I get, you know, Harry Styles has been in like couple of movies, and he's in this movie that she's directing. She's become a director as well, so we'll see what happens. But
did you see the video, the Shia LaBeouf or whatever, however you say his name,
LaBeouf,
that the naked video?
Was he naked again?
Well, she secretly directed this video called like Love Me Like You Hate Me or something. It's about a 9-minute. It's a weird art piece, and there's all this controversy. I'm surprised you haven't seen that. The video is on Vimeo. You can see it. He does full frontal. The girl does full frontal. I don't know what's going on in it. It was just a little weird. But supposedly, Olivia Wilde directed it.
He's a little off kilter. Shia LaBeouf, or however you say his name.
I know Vimeo does videos, but why do you have to go there for videos? Can't you go to YouTube for everything?
They put it on Vimeo because I think they could get away with the nudity. I think that's why Vimeo's more of a cinematic site. YouTube's more of an SEO, like mainstream site.
Gotcha.
So Dr. Dre had an aneurysm. He's been in the hospital. I wonder if he got it from all the stress from this divorce he's going through. But he did give his wife like $2 million just for temporary spousal support through April. That's the latest. But I'm not sure if he's still in the hospital or not. But that's pretty serious, having a brain aneurysm.
That story's whack. And his house got broken into while he was in the hospital.
Yes, his house also got broken into.
Do you think his wife was thinking, yes?
You got to wonder.
I don't know.
Is she that
shallow?
It's
messed up to say, but you know, they're not doing, you know, they're not doing very well. It's pretty bad. It's pretty, I heard their relationship is pretty tainted right now.
24 years together. Of course, she's saying he was unfaithful several times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot happened over the holidays with celebrities becoming, you know, unhinged or, you know, making really serious statements. One of them was James Corden. How about Corden saying, I'm fed up with the way I look, and I finally want to do something about it. And it was announced this week that he is joining Weight Watchers as a spokesperson.
Get money, get paid. That's got to be a paid endorsement.
Yeah, when I first saw that, where he was saying, you know, I'm fed up about the way I look, and, you know, it was really like this tone, this serious tone. And then today I see that he's the new spokesman for Weight Watchers. I don't know.
I would get fat just to get that kind of money. I would get fat just to say, hey, you know, I feel so bad, Weight Watchers, and then go back.
Some people, I think, when they're a little obese, it goes with their character. Like, it fits them. Like, I remember when Seth Rogen lost a lot of weight. I was like, man, it just...
It didn't look like Seth Rogen anymore.
But you knew him as fat Rogen. That was your impression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and who was the guy in Superbad that lost a lot of weight? But I think he brought it back
same
on.
Same thing. And you wonder, like, were they popular because they were overweight?
Right. Yeah, Jonah Hill. That's who I'm thinking of. When Jonah Hill lost a lot of weight, I'm like... I still like him, but man, he's just funnier when he's a little heavier.
And then Chrissy Teigen has decided she's going sober. Did you see that? She's put down the bottle on her 35th birthday.
But we're not.
How do you do it? How do you do a dry January this January of all things?
What's going to happen to her Twitter account?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It's going to get boring.
Zoe Kravitz filing for divorce after only 18 months of marriage. I didn't know who her husband was, but...
I didn't know she was married. Who's she married to?
She married this guy named Carl Klossman. Huh. He's an actor. She filed for divorce. And then I saw this and was actually really shocked by it because I had not heard it before, but did you see that story about Taraji P. Henson talking about suicide? Mm. She has a Facebook watch series called Peace of Mind with Taraji. And she disclosed that, here's the quote, she had a very dark moment. During the pandemic, it's been kind of hard on all of us, and I had a moment, a dark moment. I was in a dark place for a couple of days. I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't care. That's not me. Then I started having thoughts about ending it. It happened two nights in a row. That's really wild.
Sadly, there's a lot of actors and actresses that have been through this that you don't know about. It's been so hard with no work, and there's a lot of people, I bet you, there's a lot of big names, I bet, that have gone through this, and we don't know.
Well, I think the good thing about her speaking up about this, maybe it will help a lot of other people, you know, to be able to speak about it, because, you know, the mental health issues, and if it's somebody that you look up to and they're speaking up about it and actually trying to get help, that's a good thing. So we ended up the year, guess who has the number one album of the year? No surprise.
Number one, Taylor
Number
Swift?
Number one album of the... Yep.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift with Folklore. You know, I like Evermore, but I think I'm a bigger fan of Folklore. The Weeknd had the number two album, After Hours, and did you see the whole video and the photo of him after he took the bandages off his face? Because, you know, he's been staying true to his record with the bandages on his face. Well, apparently he took the bandages off, and shocker... They're saying he had plastic surgery and he doesn't look anything like himself. It is the most bizarre thing. And I don't know if it's a publicity stunt or if it's real, but apparently he and his fans are freaking out over it.
The Weeknd?
So
these
bandages were actually needed. They weren't like a stunt.
I thought it was a stunt for the record, but apparently he took the bandages off and now he looks completely different.
What would it change?
It's so bizarre.
What's different?
He doesn't look the same. He looks completely different.
Okay, then.
We'll see what happens. Number three, BTS.
I don't get that whole thing.
Fourth biggest selling record, Juice WRLD.
I just don't understand.
Oh, BTS, the phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't get BTS. I don't get it.
Juice WRLD 4, 5 was Harry Styles, which is such a great record. Lady Gaga 6, Halsey 7. Taylor, still in the top 10 with Evermore. Eminem was 9, and Kenny Chesney, we got one country artist in there at number 10 with Here and Now.
Does Taylor remind you of Madonna as far as the business aspect of her? She's so good at just...
Smarter.
You know,
yeah, Taylor is
smarter.
So smart.
Right. No, she's just so good at keeping the audience engaged.
I think so, and I love the new direction, actually.
Well, Madonna didn't have that capability back then, though, too. What would Madonna be like now? What if he flipped those two?
They call Madonna, you know, a businesswoman. By the way, remember we got in trouble for Madonna song? Remember I leaked you a record?
Oh, yeah. Justify My Love?
Nope. Erotica.
Erotica.
You got in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mean to sidebar this, but yeah, we got Erotica at KRBE in Houston. We got it leaked. And I think Barnes, I was talking to you about it, and I sent it to you on a reel-to-reel. And
in
then
Kansas
and then
City.
I got in trouble. Yeah. You got in trouble. Anyway.
Did you have a favorite record of the year?
The one you told me to listen to.
Yeah. Black Pumas.
Unbelievably great. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Queen's Gambit for me. It's all about Queen's Gambit for me.
Soundtrack. It's fantastic.
I don't know if Kim Kardashian and Kanye are getting a divorce or not, but everyone's saying that the person behind it that really, you know, navigated and orchestrated the whole thing was none other than Kris Jenner.
They're toying with people.
You think they are?
Yeah.
Is it over?
One minute she has her ring on, the next minute she doesn't. It's just so, and these elaborate paparazzi photos.
She fell in love again. Ariana Grande, I mean, you can fall in love and start dating someone, but like, she's already engaged.
Chick's a mess.
By the way, she's engaged to this guy named Dalton Gomez, and I have to admit, I went on the Google machine, and I actually typed in, who is Dalton Gomez? And it finished the sentence before I even had a chance to type it in, which means everybody else is wondering who the guy is. And it says that he works in the luxury real estate market.
Do you think this is too soon for Pete Davidson? Is he like, is this still hurting him, or did he get over it already?
It's too soon for her.
Yeah, too soon for her, maybe.
Her friends are even saying, hey, slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
We talked about the biggest albums over the year. What was the number one movie in the country?
For the whole year?
This week.
Oh, this week.
Wonder Woman, 1984. Yeah, totally. Globally, 118.5 million. By the way, I've heard so many terrible things about it. Now I don't want to even watch it.
It's
Barnes,
bad.
You didn't like it, did you?
It sucked.
I've heard nothing but bad things. And, you know, we talked about it last week, right? Like, you have to be kind of a Marvel fan to at least like it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just, and I love Gail. Is it Gail Gadot? I love her.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
I liked the first movie. Love the first movie, not this one.
Right.
This is so funny. I saw this story, and I actually had just asked a friend of mine this the other day because I love Ben Stiller. Like, Ben Stiller makes me laugh, and he hasn't been in anything. And then I just saw that he's working on another Night at the Museum and asking guess who to be in it?
Who?
Adam Sandler. Which I think would actually be funny.
I agree. I'd like that. I'm fans of both of them. Yeah.
Stiller's been producing and directing.
Well, I'm sure he's going to produce and direct it, but I think hopefully he'll be in it as well.
No, I mean, that's where he's been. That's where he's been. He did that big prison thing on Netflix last year. He directed it.
Oh, which prison thing?
It was like a 10-episode thing. He's been directing and behind the camera stuff.
I guess I just miss him because I think he's funny. A lot of people don't think he's funny. I think he's funny. I don't know if I can handle one more streaming service because I feel like I've subscribed to all of them.
Oh,
now
my
there's,
God.
Wait, now there's Discovery Plus.
Please. Yeah.
No?
Why?
It's just more of the same.
It features 55,000 episodes of content from HGTV, Food Network, TLC, Travel Channel, Animal Planet, Discovery Channel. Whew.
I feel like all that stuff's the same.
Yeah.
It's all just the same show.
Yeah, just rip that piece of paper up.
Well, that's where you can see Magnolia Table with Joanna Gaines.
Well, they always have one show that you kind of might want to watch. Like, I do like them.
Would you watch a film based on the Rubik's Cube? A film and a game show based on the Rubik's Cube is being developed. Why did it take so long? I want to know.
Can you tell me the premise behind this? I don't understand.
How deep can it be?
I used to take mine apart back in junior high. I would just take it apart and get all the colors on the right side. Back in the day.
That's how you solved it. You just break it.
Yeah, that's how I solved it. Or I knew people that took the stickers off and just changed everything around.
We saw that the Grammys have been postponed due to COVID because, you know, the numbers in LA are just wicked. So it's going to be March the 14th. So delay by a couple of months. Who do you think the biggest and most popular star in the world is?
Of all mediums?
Yeah, this is coming actually from IMDb, the star meter.
Oh, number one. That's a good question.
And I think a lot of it could be people that are trending and, you know.
Could this be like a movie star or an athlete?
Yeah, number one on the IMDb is going to be someone, probably a movie.
For weeks, it was someone that, Cubby, you mentioned something about this a little bit earlier on the Pop Culture Show.
Just tell
you
us,
mentioned,
Frank.
You mentioned the Queen's Gambit. It was the actress for a long time. She was Anya Taylor-Joy. She was number one for the longest. Because, you know, that show was so huge on Netflix.
Wow.
And then it was, do you even know who Pedro Pascal is?
No idea.
He was in The Mandalorian, We Can Be Heroes, Wonder Woman, and now, guess who it is? And you're going to have to tell me, Barnes, I know that you watch this show, but you probably have no idea what this guy's name is. Reggae Jean Page.
Who is that?
Reggae Jean Page from Bridgerton.
I don't watch Bridgerton.
I thought you Wait. Did.
Oh my gosh, Fram, do we have to go there again? My
Your wife,
watches it.
Okay.
I don't watch the softcore period pieces.
I actually looked up to make sure I knew how to pronounce his name.
You know how many people watched that show?
Apparently it was number one.
65 million on Netflix.
Yeah, I just saw that on Netflix.
Man, what am I doing wrong?
It's unbelievable.
I think it's because The Bachelor wasn't on, and so all the
No,
people...
it is on. The Bachelor came back this week.
Who do you think will be one of the first hosts, this is kind of bizarre to me, for Jeopardy? After
who?
Alex
oh, I know
Trebek's
who it is.
Final episodes.
Katie Couric.
That would be the Katie Couric, everybody.
I thought that was kind of strange.
I would like to have her on our show. I don't know why.
Do you know she was the last interview we did at my radio station in New York before COVID? And she could not be nicer.
I'd love to have her on.
Yeah.
Cubby, get her on the show.
Yeah, Cubby, you're in New York. That's your area.
I'm working on it. By the way, I have breaking news on a guest I was just trying to get, and I just got the no on it.
Thanks. Who?
My friend, her name is Emily, and I've known her for like 15 years, and she ended up marrying Steve Guttenberg. And I actually hit her up and said, hey, would it be possible to get him on the show? And she said, well, number one, he doesn't have the equipment to do things at home.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's working on getting it. And I'm actually reading this as we speak. She goes, I hardly ever ask him to do things, even when family and friends ask, because he's a major control freak. He said to me before, have them ask my manager.
Well, that's never a good sign.
Never a good sign, right?
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't know who Steve Guttenberg is.
Yes, you do.
He was in all the Police Academy movies, and he was just on a show last year that was pretty on fire. Was it Money or something like that?
Well, then I know him by his face, because I know the name, but I can't no image comes up in my brain.
Oh, come on. You don't know who Steve Guttenberg is?
I think if Barnes saw a photo of Steve Guttenberg, he would know who he is.
Was he in Ghostbusters?
Wait, was he in Ghostbusters?
No, he was in all, like... He was in the 80s. He was definitely known for the Police Academy movies.
Okay. Well, we've already gotten into trouble quoting people from that movie. Leslie Nielsen and the other guy.
The girl that played Hooks died last week.
I saw that. Big Broadway star.
Yep. He was on season 6 of Dancing with the Stars. He did the Foxtrot and the Tango.
All right. We can go. We can move on. I have a clip for you, Fram, to end one of your former top fivers. Is Matthew McConaughey still in your top five?
He was never in my top five.
Oh, hell yes, he was.
You keep saying that. No, it was always like all these rock stars.
Matthew McConaughey was
Brad Pitt was always number one.
Okay. All right.
But didn't he have
Actually, I'm sorry, Leslie, I don't believe you because you don't know what kind of car you drive. Chances are Barnes is right on who your top five was back in the day.
I like him. I think he's a good actor, but I liked his early movies. But didn't he kick off 2021 with a very powerful message?
Listen to this post he put on Instagram. It's only like 30 seconds. Dude has got the bong out for sure.
Oh, 2020, you year of wouldas, couldas, and limbos of the maybe-sos. Yes, you made us look you in the eye and recognize. And now, as we stabilize, organize, and get on the ready to respond, we have to reveal and revive so we can testify. It's on you. It's on me.
Okay. Happy New Year from Matthew McConaughey. Did you hear the birds chirping outside? Dude's a trip.
Wanna get intimate? Subscribe to The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com and get VIP insider access to the show with bonus content, exclusive videos and freebies. anything happening on the show will come to you first. Sign up free and join the pop cult at thepopcultureshow.com.
Hey, you know, Christmas is only 350 days away. So as you think about buying your man something, did you guys see this new BMW electric wingsuit? Transportation is going out of control between the self-driving cars, which are a massive reality sooner than you think. I mean, full on, you're going to get into an Uber and there's going to be nobody in it. BMW has come out with this electrified wingsuit. And this guy, Peter Salzman, tested it last week over Austria. Basically, you strap, you know those wingsuits of dudes that jump off of whatever, and then they just fly?
Yes.
You've seen those webbed suits? Well, BMW has made this motor that harnesses to your chest. And so this dude went up 10,000 feet in a helicopter and jumped off with two guys with wingsuits with no motor and up to 186 miles an hour. So just keep that
in mind
as transportation keeps evolving. Because you get all your gadget talk first here at the Pop Culture Show. This guy, and I'm playing a clip right now, so those that are watching on our social media, you'll see it. It's insane. He can thrust for 5 minutes, completely blasting through these mountains. And I thought about it because the story we had a couple of months ago where the guy in L.A. was, they saw somebody in one of these around the airport.
That's what I was going to ask about.
It's like a jetpack, but it's on the front of the guy. So it's a jetpack and a wingsuit. Like, so it looks like Batman. Looks like a superhero.
Well, can I just call bullshit on a little bit here?
On what part is bullshit?
What?
BMW did it.
Guys, it's fucking 2021 right now. It's 2021. Think about that. In 1980, we thought we were going to be flying around, right? I'm still at stoplights and stop signs and driving a car with four wheels. It's 2021.
Yeah, but you're driving
Nothing
a Tesla, baby, that's driving itself.
Well, okay, I do have a car that's electric. That has changed. But for the most part, they keep saying we're going to be flying around one day. I don't think that's ever going to happen, at least in my lifetime.
I think you're wrong. These things, I mean, you've got BMW getting behind. 10 years?
10 years? Okay, all right.
You think we're going to be full-on Jetson? You don't think that there's going to be cars picking you up with no driver?
No. It's always this kind of like fantasy, like, because 2031 right now sounds so far away and futuristic.
Were you that guy that poo-pooed Back to the Future?
Yeah.
No, I actually enjoyed Back to the Future. I really did enjoy that, actually. Well,
I just want to bring that suit up because this shit is happening fast and it's affecting everything. I mean, the richest man in the world created Tesla, your car.
I mean, your car too.
I'm saying this guy based his entire gamble on that stuff that you're saying is not going to happen.
So I'm wondering if this gadget is what the guy that was flying around in L.A., if he was using the same thing.
Well, I was wondering if it could have been. This guy jumped off of a helicopter at 10,000 feet.
Wow.
Remember 3 years ago we were talking about drone delivery and how that's going
to
be so popular?
Just about the launch.
I hear about it, but I still don't see it.
It's going to
happen because Amazon bought a bunch of drones.
They've been testing it. It's about ready
until
to go.
The day I see one land in my neighbor's yard, that's when I'm going to know, oh, wow, okay, it's really happening. But now, it's just all like chatter.
Cubby, when did you get so cynical?
Before you joined the show, I flew live on this show. Go back to episode 8. I flew a drone from my house to Jimmy Barron's house
during
the show. You can see the entire flight.
Uh-huh. Freaked his dog out.
Were there people
out,
on it?
There weren't
were people
on it. I'm just saying you can pull off. The technology is getting. You couldn't have done that 3 years ago.
You can also go on the Radio Shack website, which is up and running now, and buy a model plane and fly somewhere. They did that in 1975, too.
Didn't they go bankrupt?
So your plane is a little different. It's called a drone now.
You're angry.
It's got different little things to spin around and take you up in the air. But it's nothing new.
They've got personal drone units. It's coming.
I thought the guy who let Barnes talk him into buying a Tesla would believe in these things.
Yeah, no kidding. Good point, Graham.
It's the fact that I've been watching movies all my life, and they keep portraying 2020 and 2030 as this futuristic thing. We get here, and nothing's changed.
I disagree.
Give me some futuristic stuff, please.
I think a lot has changed.
The only thing I will say to maybe, you know, be a hypocrite here, maybe things are happening in front of me so slowly that I don't realize it. But if you froze me in 1980 and then unthawed me right now, I'd be like, whoa, wow, I can text people and not have to talk to them. Like, maybe that would hit me. I don't know.
Okay. And I wanted to also mention on the technology/app front, Have you
Queen's Leslie? Gambit? Have you all seen Queen's Gambit?
Oh my gosh. No, but you should check out Tiger King. It's really good. You notice as Cubby finishes a drink.
Yeah.
Look, he's about to spit his drink out. As Things Cubby finishes a drink, he gets more and more surly.
Yes.
There's a new app called Clubhouse that is only invite only right now. Have you seen it yet, Fram? It's
Clubhouse.
Basically like a party line. It's a party line.
Why is it invite only?
Well, I don't know. I guess they want to just ramp up and get people talking about it. LinkedIn was invite only when it first started. But I'm on it right now, and there's some funny stuff that you can stumble
Leslie,
across.
Leslie, Barnes told me about this literally 8 hours ago, and I've joined it thanks to you, Barnes, because there really is a wait list. They say it's a wait list, but it's probably like the way you make your account private on Instagram. You want to get in, so it's probably not really a wait list, but I needed an invite from Barnes, and I got one, and it's so dumb. I'm probably going to delete this app pretty soon.
Wait, I want to hear, like, Barnes, I want to hear about this app. What is in it?
It's a party line. It's a party line is what it is. I'll get right to it. It's a party line.
It's a party line, but there could be some interesting stuff. So I'm on the app right now, and I'm going to turn it on, and who knows what we're going to hear, because you're basically crashing a party. So Leslie, when you go in the room, you see all the people that are in the room, and there's a topic. So almost like if you were scrolling social media and you saw the topic was mm-hmm. whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And you go inside, and there's people talking about the topic. Some of them are serious. Some of them are stupid. I got into one earlier. What was the one I was saying, you guppy?
Oh, chicks with dicks.
No, it was not. We're going to have to turn. This will be the first time we turn you off of the show.
No drinking on the show.
Liquor really affects you, cubby.
It's nighttime. I have more fun at night.
Okay. So right now I'm scrolling. So Leslie, because I know you genuinely mean when you ask me the question, what's it about? I'm just telling you because this is a pop culture show. So we're telling you about things in pop culture. I didn't say you should get on the app, cubby, and just live on there. I'm just saying it's interesting if you give it a little bit to sink in. So there's topics. And the one that I sent cubby, I just when I got on the app, I quickly just jumped into one. I didn't realize I jumped into... It was like black women don't cheat. So there are 35 black women in it, and my white face jumped in. And I was like, oh, shit. And so I got out because they were probably like, what the hell is this guy doing in our room? And
right.
And I turned them on for a second, and it was really funny. Let's see if we can get in. Cubby, you go in this room, and
right,
let's get in. It's called 6-1 Plus.
It's actually a good
only.
Way to meet people. I should don't tell all of my single girlfriends about Clubhouse.
This one says, don't ask for beans. I don't know what that means.
Hmm.
Well, I'm going to ask for it. What is the name of the room?
that's it. Don't ask for beans. It says 6-1 only. So, yeah, does that mean you have to be 6-1 or taller? Here, let's listen. Cuppy, I'm telling you, if you go, this is under the Pop Culture Show account. Don't tarnish our name.
I searched don't ask for beans. I don't see it.
It's the first thing that comes up. Let's go in.
Yes.
Wait, you said happy before.
Hey, put my nigga Zaya.
Hold on. I think we have an imposter. I think we haven't said happy before. Ron, my name's Ashley. I'm up here in the corner, so you see me?
I asked the ladies to put Zaya.
I see you.
Yeah, I see you too.
Hey, put Zaya, be tall.
He's not answering.
Who vouching for that nigga?
No, his phone was fucked up. His phone fucked up. We got Metro.
Oh, no, you gotta go back to dirty. You can't talk.
That nigga not talking.
Q.
Hey, Shayla Bussy, bring her up.
Hey, y'all make sure y'all add me.
All the female moderators is 6 foot.
Donald Coach, Sonny, come on.
Who's that blend down?
All the male moderators are 6'1 plus minus Roy.
Slim. All right, we're out. Anyway, you know now it's a party line.
Is there another room to go into?
Yeah, I'm not following that many people on here, so I don't, like, there's not a ton of rooms. I just got on the app. Anyway, it's called Clubhouse.
It's kind of interesting.
When you sign up, Leslie, it says, you know, what are you into? And you can, you know, write, well, it gives you choices. Wellness, world affairs, sports, places, tech, languages, identity. And then once you put in what your kind of interests are, it'll find conversations. And people are putting on different, like, you know, almost like little mini TED Talks.
I think it's a good idea. I think it could be interesting if there was a topic you were really into and people were giving you knowledge. And
during COVID, because people, again, it's a great way to meet people, have conversation.
Exactly. It's great if you're home alone and you got no one with you. But I don't know about you guys. I have enough friends and I'm good. And I got enough emails to return every day. I'm good.
Okay. Mr. Negative, everybody. Cubby at iHeartRadio.com.
I seriously think this is going to be good for all my single girlfriends, Clubhouse.
It's not a dating app.
But they could meet people.
I don't think there's like a, hey, do you want to get some room?
No.
Well, maybe there is, but it's just, it's more
it's
people
nice
talking about business, except for that one.
Barnes, did you ever call a 1-900 number back in the day?
No, did you?
Yeah, a few times, drunk. Yeah, like...
All right. If you're into that sort of thing and you want to discover it, it's called Clubhouse. Ask Cubby for an invite.
It's kind of interesting. Hey, the Pop Culture Show is brought to you by Purity Vodka. Purity's 34X edition vodka is the first vodka they distilled. It is the perfect combination between flavor and smoothness. Stefan, the master distiller, really enjoys the spirit on the rocks, so he can taste the potpourri of all the flavors that originate from the malted barley and wheat used in their mesh. The distilled spirit is also blended with natural spring water, which opens up the flavors to create the complexity in the finished vodka. Purity Vodka.
Pretty incredible Purity Vodka. You see what it does to you. You've listened to this show.
I didn't realize that they distilled vodka. That's pretty. No wonder it's so smooth.
Well, and we're drinking the 51X, the black label. Both Cubby and I are drinking that. And the Cubby, are you drinking it straight?
I think he is.
No, I'm mixing in some seltzer.
Leslie just picked up those 5-gallon water tanks and she just tilted it back. I thought she just talked so much about Purity Vodka that she was just downing some.
Well, let's get into TV talk. Of course, we have to talk about Netflix, right? The top 10 shows streaming on Netflix. Some of these, I had no idea what they were.
Queen's Gambit.
Cubby, I'm guessing you might because you have
kidding?
A daughter.
He knows
number
two
10.
Shows. Queen's no, Gambit and shows. Tiger King.
No,
Tiger King
number, is all I number know. 10. What is Coco Melon?
Oh, Coco Melon. Actually, we do catch that every now and then on YouTube.
See?
It's just it's an animated thing, and it's very, it's like geared towards like two and under. I mean, at least the one I watch. Yeah, it's
well,
cute.
That's number 10. How about Gabby's Dollhouse at number 9?
What's happening on Netflix?
This one, how about 17 again?
Wasn't that a Winger
song? Zac Efron.
No, I haven't seen it.
Are you watching Chilling Adventures of Sabrina at number 7?
Fran, fast forward to some good shit.
What about, we go from that to Surviving Death, which is a docuseries at number 6. I don't know if I want to go there.
No, I'm good.
Number 5 is We Can Be Heroes. I start singing the David Bowie song, Heroes. Every time
I know. I was thinking
that.
The Wallflowers remake in my head.
This one is new. Pieces of a Woman at number 4. Vanessa Kirby, Shia LaBeouf.
You got to check that out.
Oh, number
I think
three,
that's the one they made the video to promote, the naked video.
Oh, you said that earlier. Was that Pieces of a Woman?
Well, it was an art piece, I think, a rebound off of that.
And number 3, I definitely want to watch number 3 with Nicolas Cage, The History of Swear Words.
Oh, I watched it. Let me share with you. Might as well talk about it here because you brought it up. I thought it was good. The only weird thing is Nicolas Cage, of course, is weird. You know those VH1 shows that were clip shows where they'd bring in like a handful of comedians and they would all talk on a topic?
Kind of like the best of the 80s.
Yeah.
That's what this is. It feels like it's totally from 15 to 17 years ago. But it was interesting. Each episode is about a different swear word. I have a couple of clips for you. Check out, I don't understand him. Like, he was a huge box office draw. And now this guy is really, I mean, is he taking this because he needs the money? I mean, his financial troubles are kind of well publicized. I'm assuming that he needed to pay off a bill.
He started out in all these great indie films and he's a good actor, but then he started doing like these ridiculous movies.
Yeah.
We're talking about Nicolas Cage.
I have two short clips. This is the intro. This is with Nicolas Cage, part of the intro.
With swear words, we can cut, soothe, delight, frighten, insult, and seduce. Of all the swear words in the English language, none is as malleable as fuck. It's capable of expressing the full range of human emotion. The pain, the wonder, the unlawful carnal knowledge in a single soul. Fuck. Or we can say it like this. Fuck!
So that was the intro to it. And then it gets into a bunch of linguists and people who study language. It's actually really interesting information. And they have all these facts and little things popping up. And here's a quick part where they're talking about the actor who swears the most as far as movies go. Who would you think is the swearingest actor of all time?
Of all time?
Yeah. Who's cussed the most in modern cinema? I think there's a very obvious one.
Andrew Dice Clay?
Andrew Dice Clay. The first thing that came to mind for me was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you on that.
But
that's not right.
That's not it. No, here's just a quick clip. This is to show you what the rest of the show's like.
Swearing in movies is big business. You can see that of the big six swear words, fuck and its derivatives are by far the most frequent, making up 71% of the curses uttered in the films of this random actor. So who do you think is the sweariest actor of all time?
Per movies, per swear words, per time on screen, I think Eddie Murphy's your number one.
Nah, Samuel L. It has to be Samuel L. He's swearing. He don't get the role unless he can swear in it.
When you're talking about the word fuck, it's hard not to really fall back on the connoisseur fuck, Samuel L. Jackson.
What the fuck am I doing in the back? You the motherfuckers should be on brain detail.
I remember I went to see Snakes on a Plane only to see Samuel L. Jackson say, I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. It was magical.
The sweariest actor isn't Samuel L. Jackson, Al Pacino, or my personal favorite, Yosemite Sam, but Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
And while Jonah Hill is known for his R-rated comedies, it was The Wolf of Wall Street that made him the king of the curse words, swearing a confounding 107 times in that movie alone.
So, it's interesting. On that, they're like 30 minutes.
Jonah Hill.
I actually brought up Jonah Hill earlier, guys. Remember that?
And you didn't even know that was coming.
Wow.
I never would have guessed him. I think Nicolas Cage is the perfect person to host that show after hearing he's got such a recognizable voice. Number two most watched show on Netflix, Cobra Kai.
I'm telling you, I'm not into season three yet. I haven't gotten into it, but I was a big fan of season one and two, and I'm glad Netflix picked it up.
Everyone says it's great.
Barnes, you mentioned this earlier. Number one, Bridgerton.
Man,
over 63 million, 65 million, yeah.
Cubby, does your kid watch Blippi?
No.
Do you know who Blippi is, Leslie?
Have no idea.
Blippi made 17 million last year on YouTube. 17 million on YouTube. He's kind of the Mr. Rogers of YouTube. 27 million subscribers. I bring that up because if you can make that kind of money doing this...
Whoa! I'm just playing musical presents. That means I'm dancing until the music stops.
Listen, he's doing a total Pee Wee Herman ripoff. Listen.
Woohoo! And then I get to open up whatever present's in front of me. Yeah! Woo!
Right there. He's doing like the total Pee Wee Herman. Anyway, that's Blippi.
I recognize him. I'm Googling him right now, and I've seen him show up on my suggestions on YouTube. By the way, my suggestions on YouTube have changed since having a kid. Because I've been showing so many cartoons to Naomi. Now all my suggestions are like kid stuff. But I recognize this guy. I've always skipped him. But apparently, I guess he's big, huh?
God, that's a lot of money.
We need to figure out something stupid to do on YouTube to make money.
Exactly. I did watch a movie, Leslie, that you recommended. And don't take offense. I thought it was too slow. The Sound of Metal.
But doesn't it get good in the middle? It's got some really good life lessons.
I have a very short attention span, so I think dramas like that are just not for me. Like they it's shot very well. The acting is great. It's just too slow.
Well, I do think it's going to get some nominations, Golden Globe nominees. This movie, by the way, Cubby, is the one about the rock metal drummer
that loses his hearing.
Goes deaf. He loses his hearing.
One of the Golden Globes, aren't they in January usually? Has that been COVID changed?
I think they moved it to Feb.
I think they're in February. But the Oscars have been moved, I think, to April. Bummer.
Did you guys watch The Bachelor this week? The Bachelor's back.
Please.
No, I don't. I never watch those. It's all you.
Yeah. Matt James. I thought it was good. A lot of controversy because he gave a speech at the beginning basically saying he's going to end up with a white girl. I mean, it's probably 50-50, the girls to choose from. But a lot of the black audience was upset with his speech that he gave where he was talking about, you know, he has a white mother and a black father. And the way he was talking was like, I like white girls, was like basically what it sounded like he was saying. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it seemed like, it just seemed weird. It was like he was apologizing in advance because this is the first Black Bachelor and that's how they're advertising.
Very first one, I know.
Do you watch The Bachelor live or do you tape it so you can blow through the commercials?
I usually blow through the commercials unless there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Now, Barnes, you went back and started watching that show, Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite thing to watch right now. I'm on the end of the first season. That's some funny shit. Funny. Got another one for you. I binged Manhunter on Netflix. Leslie, you'll probably like that. It's about Richard Jewell and the whole Atlanta bombing, but it also takes in the bomber. So that movie that Clint Eastwood did, it was only all the stuff about Richard Jewell.
But this goes into everything?
This goes into the bomber going into the woods in North Carolina and getting captured. Eric Rudolph.
I'll tell you what, we lived it, so I probably would love it.
Barnes, because you live in Atlanta, do you feel like you have to watch anything Atlanta-oriented? Is that like,
no.
Like a rule?
No, but I'm interested in true
Everything's
crime.
Atlanta. Oh, dude, just Atlanta. It was filmed in Atlanta. Okay, it was Atlanta. It's Atlanta. Just, this happened in Atlanta.
Well,
it's
actually,
Atlanta.
Manhunter was filmed in Pittsburgh. It was about Atlanta.
Oh, okay,
Cubby,
but still, the Atlanta tie-in.
It's going to implode before the end of this episode. I have a feeling.
Okay, anything else, TV talk, Fram, to serve up?
Whew, that was a little scary. Let's see here. Oh, what do you think is the most pirated TV show of 2020?
Who pirates anymore? You can just stream everything. You have to still illegally pirate shows?
Yeah, there's people still pirating.
I don't know.
I think I know what it is. The Mandalorian? Mandalorian?
Yeah, The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian. I know what you're thinking. Yes, I'm officially drunk right now. All right, I'll give you that. But
okay.
The Mandalorian was pirated, yes.
All right.
Glad you admitted it. Okay.
All right, there you go. There's your TV talk.
You know, I hardly watch any new TV. I'm the guy that will have on MeTV or Antenna TV and watch old shit nonstop. You don't mind that, do you?
You love the old stuff. We know that.
All right. Well, Paste Magazine put out a list of the top 50 TV themes of all time. The top 50.
Let's go through all of them.
All right, let's go. Number 50. No, I'm kidding. But I tell you what, I like every single one. I really do. I mean, just for the record, number 50 is The Rockford Files. Great song by Mike Post. But anyway, for time purposes, we'll do the top five. How about that?
Perfect.
Coming in at number five, ladies and gentlemen, they call this a very simple but memorable song that made quite an impact. It was a theme to All in the Family.
Childhood, man. I can just picture this.
Wow.
But that wasn't the actual... You're not playing the actual theme.
This is the actual where it came from. Henry Mancini.
Well, yeah, this is where it came from. Correct.
Yeah, this isn't the one with Carol O'Connor singing. This is like the actual real one.
And Gene Stapleton singing, right. But, yeah, that came in number five. Number four, Danny Elfman. He wrote the score for just about every great movie in the 1990s. Beetlejuice, Batman, Men in Black... But he's probably best known for this just simple 90-second tune featuring Marge Simpson checking out at the grocery store. The Simpsons theme came in number four.
That dude's cashed in on TV shows big time.
Yeah. Do you watch The Simpsons, guys?
Never.
I liked his band.
Wait, what band?
Oingo Boingo.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was his band.
Like Weird Science and Man's Party guy?
Yep, that was Danny Elfman.
Which probably got him into the TV producing.
You see his name on everything. It's pretty incredible.
Coming in at number three, I got to tell you, I play this song often in my head when I see a clunker on the road. But it's the theme to Sanford and Son at number three. Give it up for Sanford and Son.
I didn't realize that Quincy Jones did this song.
And Quincy's known for a lot of things, but I mean... Now that I know this, I love him even more.
Hey, Cubby.
Yeah?
I got in an elevator one time with Quincy Jones.
Did you talk
okay.
to him?
Okay.
We always get pissed when I bring up that I saw someone in real life.
Well, how did it go? Did you all talk?
It was at a Grammys party. No, he was doing his business, and I was just standing next to him.
You were in the bathroom?
No, in an elevator.
Oh, okay.
On the way up to the Rainbow Room in New York after the Grammys.
Gotcha. You want to hear what the number two most popular TV theme ever is?
Yeah.
I Love Lucy?
No, ooh, didn't make the top five, Leslie. The actual title of this is Suicide is Painless.
Oh, yes.
But it is, of course, the theme to MASH.
Mm-hmm. And this is the real one, right?
This is the real song, exactly.
That's another show I didn't watch. What a morbid song.
No, I mean, the theme is great. I don't like that version of it, though.
Well, this is where
and it finally...
Wait, can we guess what number one is? Is it the Friends theme song?
Ooh, good one. Where'd that come in on the list?
Damn close, because it does involve Friends, but it's not. And I'll have to look that up where it is. But the number one song, and who doesn't want a song written about where everyone knows your name? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Wow, wow, mm-hmm, wow. Mm-hmm. The theme to Cheers.
How many of those five shows did you watch?
All of them but MASH. I mean, I remember MASH being on in the background, my mom watching it, but I never really like got into it. I do know it was like forever what the number one ratings for the most watched finale ever. That went on for like 30 years, I think, before it finally got beat. Some other notable highlights, Knight Rider, which I've always loved, came in number 25. Laverne and Shirley's in the top 20.
Oh, that was a good
The
one.
Beverly Hillbillies at number 30. What's Happening, the theme to What's Happening, which I love, is number 35, and it goes on and on. Paste Magazine, though, great article. I loved it.
And by the way, you mentioned Ted Danson. I saw an article about him the other day. How many successful TV shows he's been on? I mean, it wasn't just Cheers. He's been on several.
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Good Place, Becker, CSI Crime. I mean, it's unbelievable.
People love The Good Place.
Friends came in number 44 on the top 50 TV.
Wow, I would have thought
time.
It would have been higher since it's in so many, you know, syndications and stuff.
How about a free Pop Culture Show t-shirt or coffee mug? Leave us a 5-star review on Apple, and if we read yours on the show, we will send you some swag. This week's winner is...
Hey, I want to read a review we got. This is amazing. 5 stars, baby. The review says, I'm so enjoying the Pop Culture Podcast. Great for a weekly laugh. Plus, a good place to find out what is new in the entertainment world, movies, music, Netflix, and general cool stuff each week. Plus, I get to listen to Leslie and Barnes again, along with a new one for me. His name is Cubby. Aww. And again, if you're the one that sent us this review, make sure you email us info@thepopcultureshow.com to claim your pop culture t-shirt, or maybe even, get this, a coffee mug.
Oh yeah, baby.
We got the big prizes here.
Cubby still wants one. Go to the store, Cubby.
Again, info@thepopcultureshow.com. If that was your review, email us right now.
The Pop Culture Show is presented by Purity, ringing the new year with Purity Vodka and Purity Spritz.